Pushkin.
Did you know some travel credit cards offer 10 times points on your spending? Don't miss out on big rewards for your next trip. NerdWallet lets you compare smart travel credit cards side by side, curated by an expert team of finance nerds. What could future you do with better travel rewards? A free flight? A room upgrade? Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet, finance smarter. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. Before they were legends of outlaw country, they were lost souls looking for their sound. Don't miss Mandy Moore and the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the birth of outlaw country music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Hear how one woman's vision and her tiny living room, far from Nashville's music row, became the epicenter of a musical movement. Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in The Boar's Nest. Listen now at audible.com/The Boar's Nest.
The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business. The PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with AI coaching tools and 5G connected cameras. AAA is getting more drivers back on the road fast with location telematics. And the Las Vegas Grand Prix is powering race day operations with 5G connectivity, giving fans an experience at the speed they deserve. This is accelerating innovation with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Natalia Lafourcade is a force. As you'll hear when she sings during our conversation today, she has a gorgeous voice. But she's also a deft songwriter who's able to weave together traditions that feel both modern and old at once. And she's also a beautiful interpreter of song. Take, for instance, the phenomenon that was the song Remember Me from Pixar's film Coco. Or take the many instances where she's recorded some of the classic songs from across Latin America, performing songs by greats like Violeta Parra from Chile and Agustin Lara from Natalia's home state of Veracruz, Mexico. After spending the last 7 years interpreting those masters, Natalia's released De Todas las Flores, her first album of originals since 2015. The songs are very much inspired by where she's at in life now, but you can hear her reverence for the classics still in these songs. When Natalia came by LA to snag a Grammy a couple of months ago for her new album, I made a point of stopping by her label offices at Sony to have a chat with her. We discussed the evolution of her artistry over the last 25 years, the time a hummingbird inspired her to move past a creative rut, and how the logistical challenges of recording her latest album to tape wound up creating an urgency that ultimately fueled the creative process. This is Broken Record, liner notes for the digital age. I'm Justin Richmond. In continuation of our month-long celebration of Women's History Month, here's my conversation with Natalia Lafourcade. When did you start playing guitar?
I started playing when I was 14 years old, probably.
Yeah.
Around that. Very, very little. I was very, very little.
14 is actually when I first started really playing. Yeah, same. Yeah, 14.
Okay. And how come?
Wanted to join a band.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't want to join a band. I didn't think about it, you know. My mother and I moved into another apartment. That was my aunt. And in the closet, there was this guitar like with only 3 strings.
Wow.
And I took it. I didn't know how to play, but I took it. And then I started writing songs with 3 strings.
Wow. Which strings?
I don't remember. I think it was this, this, and this.
Okay, the 3 top strings.
Yeah.
E-A-D.
Not this one's here. Yeah. So I started writing songs that I don't remember, obviously. And then one day I said to my mother, I want to learn guitar. So I was having somebody helping me with the rest of the strings. And I had this boyfriend that was playing a lot of U2 songs.
Oh, U2, okay.
So he was giving me those 3 chords of that are in many of the music and the songs, and that's how I started.
Wow.
Then I had my first guitar that was a Yamaha, very, very hard to play it. It was como metal strings.
Oh, yeah.
For me, that was really, really hard. And then when I was 16, I went into the school and I said, like, okay, I'm going to take real classes. So I was trying. Then I got something, you know, when you...
Oh, like carpal tunnel.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I had to operate it. And it took a long time to go back to the guitar. And I was just learning myself by myself, you know, with my friends.
Yeah.
I didn't have a teacher, really, in guitar. It was my friends telling me chords and ways.
When you were playing guitar, did you have songs in your head that you wanted to sound like or artists that you wanted to sound like?
Yeah, of course. Like, I had those references of Brazilian music most of the time, you know. There was a friend in school that I remember, that's the first person I asked. I said, like, I'm trying to learn the chords of the guitar, but doing the whole finger for me is just too hard. I don't have the force. My fingers, they don't get used to this.
Yeah.
Do you have any chords? It's a lot of from the intuition, the way I play guitar. But I was asking this friend, do you have any chords that is easy to do? And it sounds very fancy, like very... Like, wow, she knows very well what she's doing. But so I want to write songs, I said, but I don't want to go just to those chords that everyone uses, like just the minor on the major chord. I want this to sound like
the Brazilian
more
chords.
Interesting. So he was saying, like, I'm going to give you some Brazilian chords, like from Bossa Nova and that music.
Wow.
So you can go and play this. It's going to be simple for you. And then he was showing me music, Alice Somelis Regina, Caetano Veloso, João Gilberto, those kind of musicians that I fall in love. A lot of Brazilian music. So it became, because of this, in a way, this... Bossa Nova way or Brazilian way of playing became a very strong way for me to find songs and music. He was giving me these chords.
Yeah, beautiful.
You know? So he was saying, like, if you play this, it's really easy, and you can go from everywhere, like in the guitar.
Yeah.
And it's gonna be easy for your fingers. And then he was giving me like the... So that was my first approach to writing songs. So I was writing like a song which is called Elefantes, Elephants. Quiero buscar con el ritmo de los elefantes y rinocerontes. Saborear como un niño saborea un helado de cajeta. Quiero caminar sin zapatos y sentir la arena. Después volar. So that was really easy for me to do, but it sounded like, wow. I remember the label saying, like, that song is really beautiful. But for me, it was simple, more simple with my fingers and my strength.
That was on your first record, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
It did seem like there was a lot of those bossa nova rhythms, like on, you would hear them every so often in the first, I don't know, like in actually a lot of your music, still.
Still. Even the last album, going through very... I mean, for me, folk music from Latin America has become a very important part of my inspiration and the way I write songs to find my own voice. Like, that has been very important for me. But the Brazilian way, I don't know why, it keeps going through the songs in a way that I don't even know why, but it is there. Like, there's songs in the last album that have that... it's on tune, I'm sorry, but I have those ways. I don't know, it's still there.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And you got to work with Gilberto Gil, right?
Yeah, but long ago, you know. That was for...
That was on your...
Mujer Divina.
Yeah.
Like singing this beautiful song by Agustin Lara Farolito. It's beautiful. And also, like, I was singing... I don't remember the song that I interpreted in the person when he was Person of the Year at Latin Grammy long ago, like 20 years ago or something like that. I was very little.
You performed a song of his at the Latin Grammys?
Yeah. It was for him. Like, he was there. For me, it was like a dream because I admire him so much. And then they were asking me to go there and play for him. So that was really beautiful.
How did you get to get him on your record? Back in...
Then for Mujer Divina, we got in touch with his team and he was open to do that. He knew about me. I was impressed by that because obviously I thought, like, of course he's not going to remember, and that's fine because it's Gilberto Gil. But there was this concert in Mexico City and I went there with my friend Queso, which is also one of the persons that was teaching me a lot of Brazilian music. And we went to this concert and then I get to say hello to Gilbert and he was like, "Hey, Natalia, how are you?" I can't believe he remembers my name. He knows my name. And then years after that, he was willing to do the song with me.
Were you in the studio with him or did he do
not
it separate?
Really. That was, that was in the distance. I hope it was like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh, man, I was hoping you got to be in the studio with him.
Imagine that. Yeah. And then years later, I got to do the same Person of the Year and sing for Caetano Veloso.
Oh,
so
wow.
That was also for me, like, I can. It was Libros. And yeah, I was able to sing to him as well. I think they both are a dream for me, you know, like to get to play together. Might be possible. Who knows?
I would love it. So Brazilian music was like kind of the first, maybe besides pop music, is the first like music that you really dove into.
Many, many different genres and types of music, really. You know, I remember the first album that I bought with my money was this debut album by Björk.
Oh, yeah.
And this Mama's Gone by Erika Badu. Jamiroquai with Traveling Without Moving, those kind of albums.
Yeah.
That was the music I listened, and this I was young and starting to have my own taste in music, you know? Like when you're like, I am listening to this in my headphones and I like it and I don't care if nobody else is liking this music. I feel connected to this for some reason because I didn't understand the words and the lyrics on those songs. I was just... a music connection to those musics. My parents are musicians and the music I was listening at home was mainly classical music, sometimes boleros that my mother liked a lot. Mm. Many different genres of music, Violeta Parra, those kind of musics. So then I started listening to new things in the school. I remember the first time I heard Billie Holiday and I was like, wow, this is totally another thing. Like, I love this. And then I went through Ella Fitzgerald, Nina Simone. I was listening to Joni Mitchell. I remember, like, that cassette of Blue that my friend gave me. And I was like, oh, I can't believe this. Yeah. This is really Tori Amos, PJ Harvey, Fiona Apple. I was getting into those kind of things by my friends showing me that music because that wasn't in my background.
Yeah.
From my childhood or nowhere, really. Radiohead, I don't know. I was listening to that. It has been changing. Then I was more curious about, like, wait a minute. I want to hear what's in Mexico, what's in my country.
When did that happen? Because it seems at some point, and maybe around Mujer Divinas, that's when that happened.
Yeah. You know, I left in Canada for 1 year almost. And I was... very close to say, I'm not going back to Mexico. And it was a time I was not having a good moment in terms of my career. Like, I didn't know what I really wanted to do. For a moment, I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. This is not for me.
What caused that?
I think it was that I was very young. I was 18 when I released my first album. And then everything happened fast. And for me, it was just too much information. And then I decided to have a band. And that was for me a lot, you know, because I had so many things that I wanted to explore in music. But then it seemed that everything was already taken by everyone around me, you know. It wasn't my decisions or it wasn't the way I wanted it to be. But I was doing that for so long that I got very far, you know, from knowing what I wanted and how I wanted the music to sound like. For me, it was like, I need to go far, far from home, and I need to go to a place where nobody will know my name, and I don't know how to speak that language, and I will need to learn, and I will be free. It will be my time, and no more music. But I ended up, because of my friends, in a house full of musicians, and they were playing a lot of blues.
This was in Canada?
This is in Canada. So I got to listen to all the genres in music and to be surrounded by that vibe, you know, of a lot of musicians around me. And that was beautiful for me. It helped me to go back into music. And then I was writing.
Got you excited again.
Yeah, yeah. But I stopped the music for like 3 months or something like that. I wasn't playing anything. There was piano, guitars, any instrument, drums, anything.
Didn't touch you.
And I didn't touch anything. I was just there, like, trying to recover my soul. I think it was a thing of the soul and the heart. And then there was one day I sat on the piano and I started playing this instrumental album, which is called The Four Seasons of Love, that it isn't even in Spotify. It was just for a period of time there. I'm going to put it there. But that was the music that was coming. Has not lyrics at all. It's just music. So
did
that
you
was,
release it?
Yes, I did.
You did?
But it was the only album that I owned my master. But I was selling the label in Mexico because they, of course, imagine. I was solo artist.
Yeah.
But then I say, like, I want a band. And they were like, but how a band? Like, you're solo artist. No, I want my band. And then I said, like, no, I don't want anything. I'm going to Canada. And then I go back to Mexico and I'm like, okay, I'm going to release an album, but there is no voice in the album. So the label is like, what? What do you expect us to do with an album that doesn't have your voice? So I was like, I don't know, but I'm going to release this music. So for them, it was like, okay, you do it and it's yours. You can do whatever you want with that music. And then I was doing my album back with my songs. So that was really good for me to go back to the songwriting. But at that moment, I realized that there was something missing to connect to people. I was connecting in a way, but not the way I wanted to connect, you know.
What
I
do
wanted
you mean to by that?
I just wanted to have something more, how would you say it? To a very simple language through music that connects to people's feelings. And
make it really plain and simple, not
simple,
complicated.
Not complicated.
Because you have some lyrics that, I mean, you know, almost like I want to compare to like, It's All Right, Mom, Only Bleeding, Bob Dylan, where it's like, you know, it's fast and like the words are quick and
yeah,
a lot of verses.
And, yeah, uh-huh, that's right.
And a lot of references sometimes to pop culture.
And yeah, and I really wanted to make it pretty, but simple, cotidiano, like just everyday language. But poetry and something beautiful. But I felt like I need to learn. I need to learn more about songwriting. So Agustin Lara for me was like, okay, this guy really has amazing music. It sounded so like Mexico, so like Veracruz. I don't know. I just fell in love so much with his music.
Had you really listened to it before? Like, I bet you heard it, but had you?
Yes, because it's very famous songs from Agustin Lara, but not consciously about it, you know, like not really paying attention to the chords, the music, the way he moved through the music, you know. And I was trying to learn that on my guitar, and I was like, wow, this is really hard thing. Like, it wasn't easy, you know, for me. But I learned a lot from his music. And then I was like, okay, I got to listen to Toña la Negra, you know, singing Vereda Tropical, singing Azul, just songs that for me sounded like listening to Etta James or like those beautiful music and standards that I heard in English before. But it was Spanish, and it was boleros, and it was tango, and there was many genres there that I was like, I can do this in Spanish. And then I just started like searching for more composers, great music in Spanish.
Could you do a little bit of your version of Vera Cruz, Agustin Lara's? I think it's credited to his sister, but...
Yeah. Yo nací con la luna de plata y nací con alma de pirata. He nacido rumbera jarocha, una trovadora de veras, y me fui lejos de Veracruz. Something like that. Veracruz, rinconcito donde hacen su nido las olas del mar. It's a little loud. Veracruz, pedacito de patria que sabe sufrir y cantar. Veracruz, son tus noches diluvio de estrellas, palmera y mujer. Veracruz. Tus playas lejanas tendré que volver. Something like that.
That's gorgeous.
It's beautiful. It's very passionate. Toña la Negra. Yo nací con la luna de plata y nací con alma de pirata. So it's more like, but I don't know, it's so like the way we are in Mexico. We're so... like that, right? Especially...
And maybe even more so in Veracruz, right?
Yeah. And I don't know, like, I really felt like I want to learn to do this. Mm. I want to learn to sing this music and write this way, in my universe and my own approach. I got really inspired by that music, and then I was able to listen to other composers that really affect me in a way. Like, I was able to go back to Violeta Parra, go back to Simon Diaz, like this great composer from Venezuela. It helped me a lot to find my own way.
We have to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with more from my conversation with Natalia Lafourcade.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How did the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer and the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer helped shape the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed The Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, would spur each other on to tap into something bigger, realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Bacharach as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash, alongside a full ensemble cast, Audible invites you to enter The Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest. Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/The Boar's Nest. We're back with Natalia Lafourcade.
Could I ask you also, because Violeta Parra is one of my favorite, and one of my favorite songs from her you did a version of, always been one of my favorites, is Que He Sacado?
Que He Sacado Con Querer.
Yeah.
Let's see if I can remember.
The most beautiful lyrics, I think.
Que was something que he sacado con la luna, yeah, yeah. Que los dos miramos juntos, yeah, yeah. Que he sacado con los nombres, yeah, yeah. Estampados en el muro, yeah, yeah. Something like that, eh? Cómo cambia el calendario, ay, ay, ay. Cambia todo en este mundo, ay, ay, ay. Ay, 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 ay. Que he sacado con el lirio, ay, ay, ay. Plantamos en el patio, ay, ay, ay. No era uno el que plantaba, ay, ay, ay. Eran dos enamorados, ay, ay, ay. Hortelano, tu canto, tu... no recuerdo. Something like that. I don't remember the lyrics. Espero que no me escuchen en Chile porque me van a colgar.
Anyone listening, I feel like should look up the lyrics of that. It's the most beautiful song maybe ever. You know, one of the greatest.
Mm. She has so many. But yeah, for me, I don't know. It was really beautiful to have this approach to those musics. And not so easy. Not so easy to sing, but I'm still learning.
So going back and listening to that music and learning to play it and learning to sing it, it seems like that also, it changed your songwriting, maybe.
Uh-huh.
Yeah?
Yeah, of course. I realized that when I listened to the last album that I made, and it's probably the most personal album that I have, and I think in every song there is very clear the influences that I have been able to explore through the years. There is this incredible composer from Venezuela. I love his music. His name is Simon Diaz. Maybe you know him. when I heard him the first time, I was like, this is incredible music, so magic, and the metaphors through the lyrics. And he uses a lot nature as an inspiration. And for me, I feel so connected because the place I live, which is Veracruz, I love it so much because of the weather and the nature around the earth. So I was learning the very, very first song that I learned by him. This is... Yo vi de una garza mora dándole combate a un río, así es como se enamora tu corazón con el mío. Yo vi de una garza mora dándole combate a un río, así es como se enamora, así es como se enamora tu corazón con el mío, tu corazón con el mío. So beautiful, yeah. And I can see how this music has impact then maybe a song like Pajarito Colibri, which is a song from my...
That's one of my favorite. This is one of my favorites
really,
on
you
the
like
new
it?
Album. Oh my God.
Pajarito Colibri, no tengas miedo de salir. Hoy el mundo quiere que despiertes para ser feliz. Cuando sientas que infinito el mundo se abre ante tus alas dentro de tu pecho, pierdas el aliento, pídele al cielo que te haga volar. Y si sientes vértigo en el vuelo, que se enciende el fuego en tu movimiento, pide al universo en tu ser entero dulce libertad. Todo va a estar bien, pajarito colibrí, ya no tengas miedo de vivir. Todo va a estar bien, pajarito colibrí, tú llegaste al mundo para ser feliz. So it reminds me to those musics.
How did you start that song? Hummingbird in English.
The Hummingbird. I was in this beautiful place that my friend Jael has in Veracruz. It was her mother's farm. And Rocío, I actually have a song that I wrote for Rocío de todos los campos. And this friend, she's not physically anymore here, but she's part of my life. And she's a very important person for what I do. Like, she was an incredible artist. And in this place, I was recovering myself for something. I don't know what that was. I think we all have moments when you just feel like your heart is broken for things that happen in life, but then everything goes so fast and you don't get to really like connect to when you feel there's pain that you need to see and pay attention to, you know? So I was recovering myself from that and I decided to go there for a month. I went there with my friend, Alan, and we were trying to see if there was music coming or not. That was for another project that I was working on. But he said, like, don't worry, I'll be around. You don't feel any pressure. Like, I'll be around. If you feel like you want to come and record, we'll do it. If not, don't worry. And then I was in the room one day, and I remember that I was inside the room for many days, not being able to do much, just sleep or read or just be there. And I remember there was this hummingbird coming every day, like doing this in the window. And I was like, how come a hummingbird could come to a window? Go to a tree. Like, don't come to the window or the door. Like, there's nothing here. But symbolically, I felt like this bird was calling to me. And it made me feel like it was the spirit of Rocío saying, like, come on, go outside, go for a walk, or come on, there's life out there, like, you're in the bed, please, like, come out. So there was a day I was just like, okay, I think I'm going to go for a walk. And then I started, like, having morning walks into the forest and Then I just, this melody came to my mind. Ta-da-da-da-da, ta-da-da-da-da-da-da. So I was just like, todo está bien. I was singing this. And then I went to the room and I only had a jarana, which is this instrument for Son Jarocho. And I was playing on that instrument, the melody, and it came like that. But I didn't pay so much attention to this song, you know? Maybe because the way I was feeling for me was just a basic lyric. Yeah. Everything is going to be fine. Hummingbird. I had that hummingbird in my mind and my heart. So didn't pay so much attention to the song until I was working with the producer of the album, and I show him this song, and he said, like, do you like this one? And I was like, well, not really so much as normal. I said, like, we need to record the song in the album. So that's why I love producers, because they help.
Yeah.
So that's how it came.
And the producer on your newest record, De Todas Las Flores, mm-hmm. is Adán Jodorowsky.
That's right.
Alejandro Jodorowsky, his son.
Yeah. Yeah.
How did you become friends with him?
When I was working the tribute to Agustin Lara years ago, I was asking Adán to come and sing one of the songs on the album. And then we became friends, very close to each other. We love each other a lot. And then for many years we were saying, like, let's collaborate, let's do something together. And 2020, I realized I really needed to go into the studio and record my music. And I was asking him, would you be okay to be the producer? And he was like, of course.
What made you think he was the one for this record?
You know, it was just a feeling in my belly. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Sometimes I move from my belly feelings.
From your belly to your mouth.
Yeah, so I just felt it. Because actually my managers were saying, like, why Adán? And I was like, I mean, he's my friend. I had other albums that we were working, Un Canto por México, Musas. Those were albums that made me connect a lot with traditional music from Mexico and Latin America. There were many people around those, and it was good. And I really enjoyed the process of those records. But I felt like I just want to stay with my friend and hang out with him and just to be silence in the studio, nobody else. Yeah. I ask everyone not to come, like the label, my husband, my managers. I was with Rocío, only the two of us, and the band, with the producer, Adán, also the beautiful band that I had for, yeah,
and
for
the
this
band
album.
Is incredible. I mean, Mark Ribot, played with everyone, including Tom Waits, and just incredible. We love him. And,
yeah, we're huge fans, right?
Amazing.
Especially if we play guitar.
Yeah, yeah, especially if we play. I mean, he's a madman of a guitarist.
Just he's crazy.
What was it like meeting him and playing with him?
It was amazing. I mean, I just want my life to be like that all the time. Like,
and you guys were like in Texas too, right? Like some, or where were you in Texas?
In Sonic Ranch, which is in El Paso, Texas.
Oh, great.
In the middle of the desert, in un rancho de nuez.
Oh, man.
It's beautiful there. And Tony Ranch, it has this amazing studio, many studios there. Adán, the producer, was listening to the songs. It was 1 year. And also because of the pandemic, we were taking it very slow, no pressure. And I was sending the music. And one day he was like, I think Mark Ribot would come and record on your album. And I was like, that's really far from us. Like, how? How are we going to make this true? But Adán is really magic. He's like, let's call him. Let's just give a call.
I can only imagine what Adán's like just based on his dad's films. You know, like I can only imagine. Yeah. That lineage is magical people.
I know. You know, when I was mixing the album in Paris with Adán, then he invited me to Alejandro's house to just have a coffee. And I didn't want to ask for anything else but that. Yeah. You know, like it was your normal Sunday. Just let's have a coffee and cookies and talk. But then he was telling me, like, I'm going to read you tarot to you. And I was like,
he's going to be your tarot reader?
okay. So it was so,
he's got to be out of control, right? He's in the best way.
They are the best. It's really inspiring to be close to them. And that was the reason I also wanted to work with Adán, you know. I wanted to be close to him and his magic and mystic.
Yeah.
I wanted to have that. And then we have beautiful people in the band, like Mark, not just Mark Ribot. I mean, Cyril on the drums, Sebastian on the bass.
Yeah, and your pianist came from your, it was like your dad's piano student or harpsichord student?
Yeah.
Is that true?
Not really like that close. They became friends, really. The funniest thing is that Emiliano Dorantes is my neighbor, right? He lives very close from where I live, but I mean, in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
And then during the pandemic, there was a moment we all, everyone, right? Like, please, I want to see another human being. And we were doing this Wednesday of the week movies in the forest, in the jungle, you know, in the,
you just
in,
set
the
up some
open.
Movies in the
yeah,
jungle?
So we put like a blanket or something like that, and we were doing the movie theater there. And then Emiliano was coming, and we became friends because of that, because we were chatting, and then I was like, hey, would you come to the house and give me some piano lessons, maybe, because I am free. I have time. And then he was coming. And then one day I was showing him some of the songs that I was writing. And then he was trying to play those on the piano. And I was like, he plays so beautifully.
His playing is incredible on this record.
He's genius. And he's
his
so
sense of space on your...
sensitive. Yeah, he's really amazing. And yeah, so he ended up recording the music and on the album. And I remember Mark Ribot, the first day, they had like this moment of musicians, you know, like Mark Ribot saying like, oh, you're playing this classical beautiful piece and that. And then Emiliano was saying like, no, I'm just writing this at the moment. I'm just playing this.
Yeah,
I am
playing.
Improvising. And Mark was like, everyone were like, wow, this kid has something special. And then he was like, give me a note and I'm going to play a chord, and then you give me another note. And they were just giving crazy notes that will crash between each other, so to make it really difficult for him. But then he was doing like a whole aria or something like that, like piece out of that. And he was playing 10 minutes non-stop from what the notes that they were giving to him. So then Mark Ribot and Sebastian, they were just like, okay, we're ready to go. Like, there's not going to be any problem with this kid.
Because he's like 20, right? Or something.
He's 21 right now, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like those magic moments in the process of the album, which I love. I think it's important to have that kind of connections.
Yeah. It's beautiful that you cut it to tape too and not digital. You know?
Yeah. And also Adán came with that idea. I always wanted to record that way. Then I found out that for producers or engineers, sometimes it was like, okay, this is going to be more difficult.
Yeah.
And then I just didn't dream about it anymore. But with Adán, we're like, yes, let's do it. Let's try.
Yeah. And no metronomes too, right? Like no click, no metronome.
No metronome, no click, no beat. But the heartbeat, it was the first time I was doing it this way. It was beautiful because Adán didn't want us to rehearsal that much the music.
Yeah.
Actually, he asked me not to prepare any demo, which I didn't. I did like three, four demos of the songs. I wanted to have the brass section because I just wanted to see if this would work or not.
Yeah.
But the other songs, he was playing that music from the message on my phone, which was right the moment when I wrote the song. And then from that, we were saying like, okay, this could be an intro. So you, Emiliano, can improvise something here that would be like close to this. And then here you, Mark, you're going to start here. And then we were, how do you say, like making the construction of the arrangement. At the moment, while listening only my voice and the guitar, like, trying to grab the feelings, you know? So there were moments when we were really connecting, and there were moments that were more like a mess. Like, no, this is not the right way. No. Please take that distortion out of the guitar. We were saying to Margaret, but they were like, wow, I like this. But then Adam was like, no, this is not the song for this. And then he was like, okay, I'm going to change. I mean, he has so many instruments around. And I don't know, we were just trying things and playing. I love to do that. And yeah, the songs and the music started to come, to show its own spirit. And we were like, okay, this was really beautiful. Like, let's leave it like this. And the good thing was that Emiliano has a really good memory. He was the only one maybe that really know the chords and the harmonies of the song. So he was ready to be there for the other ones, saying like, no, it's not this chord, it's this one, or let's go from this place to this place. But he was the guy in the room that had all that information, because we were already playing the music in Veracruz.
Yeah.
So he was more
he kind of knew it a bit more.
Yeah.
All those elements, I think, add up. The record sounds like so free and beautiful, and it just goes so many different directions. Mm. And there's just some beautiful arrangements and beautiful songs to play.
Thank you. Yeah. Really appreciate it. Yeah.
We have to pause for one last quick break, and then we'll be back with more from Natalia Lafourcade. As listeners to this show, you probably consider yourself pretty smart. But how smart is your wallet? When you're looking to upgrade your wallet, it's time to turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds has the financial smarts to help you find the right financial products for you. Before NerdWallet, you might have paid for vacations with whatever was in your wallet. But you could have been missing out on miles you didn't even know you were leaving on the table. Now you can get a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? Lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet. Finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How did the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer helped shape the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed The Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, would spur each other on to tap into something bigger, realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Bacharach as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash, alongside a full ensemble cast, Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest. Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest.
We're back with the rest of my conversation with Natalia Lafourcade. there's not a lot of artists that, if you listen to the first record through the most recent record and been doing it 24 years about, they all get better, you know? And to where like this one's like the best one. That's just an incredible feat.
Yeah, I think it's really hard to reinvent. I don't know if that word exists in English. To explore what is new for your universe as a musician or songwriter or artist, human. I mean, it's a lot of search. And for me, this album is a master. Like, it has taught me so many important things that I want to keep close, you know, even 10 years in the future, 20 years. Like, I don't want to forget the things that I've learned through this process.
Yeah.
Because I think it's very important to keep trying to do this work, you know? Like, this album made me sit down, even on the stage. Like, I felt like this album was saying, I don't want you to move during the concert. I just want you to play and sing, and you will sit down.
No theatrics.
Just bring it. Bring it all from that point and be very calm. And everything, I was actually thinking about this interview right now. I think like this could have happened like 1 year ago or two when I was releasing the album, right? But things like this moment has happened. Like this album has given to me beautiful moments, but it's like in the time of this album, not the time that I want.
Not your time,
My time. And I found that beautiful, because I've learned that not always you may have the control of what you're doing and the music and the way it flows.
Well, I'm so glad. Thank you so much for the album. It's beautiful, all the music, and I'm glad also it's being recognized. I mean, you're here because you're up for a Grammy Award for the album, and it's beautiful that it's getting the credit it deserves.
Yeah, I feel happy. I feel happy for that, you know. I mean, you're not thinking about this recognition while you're doing the thing, you know, but it was hard moments when we took the machine to Veracruz. That was crazy. You know, we took the machine to my studio once, and then I got COVID. They had to take it back to Mexico City and then bring it back again to my studio. Yeah.
What did they bring? What machine?
The tape machine.
Oh, the tape machine.
Yeah,
okay.
They were taking the machine to my house, and everyone were there, the coro, strings, everyone, but the machine wasn't good. It was damaged for a reason. Man. And then it was 2 days of like, let's find this little piece that we needed to fix it. And I don't know, like there were funny moments like that como in the recording process of the album. Es very, no sé cómo se dice en inglés, es muy artesanal. It's como handmade when you try to record like that. I mean, I am not like the Beatles. They had so much money, they could buy 70 tapes or even more to record an album. But for us, it was just like 15 or maybe less, just 20 minutes for every track, 24 tracks.
Would you record like this again?
Of course. That's the way I want to record the most.
No,
I mean, it's okay. It depends on the project, I think. But I really loved it.
Are you writing always?
Not always. Recently, I've been writing. Last week, I was doing some music for a TV show that somebody asked. And I was writing a song that is called Cancionera. But not always, you know? I am not very disciplined as a writer.
Do you find it helpful to have an assignment?
The truth.
Well, I like that you take your time. I like that you take your time. You know? It's like,
no, you know, there's moments. Yeah, it could be months and I do nothing, and then there's one day and I got inspired. I think this moment in my life, I feel very inspired, but that doesn't happen always for me.
I hope we get more music then soon.
Oh, I mean, yeah, me too. I ask for that. I ask the muses.
It's too good. could you play one more song?
Yeah. What?
Maybe Pasan los días, or?
Ah, okay.
Pasan los días y sigo pensando en ti. Pasan las horas, no me logro desprender. Es tan absurdo imaginar que nuestro amor no es suficiente para hacernos regresar. Pasa la vida y sigo pensando que teníamos todo para hacernos tanto bien, que la distancia no podría destruir aquel espacio construido en la ilusión. Dime cómo hago para respirar en este mundo tan vacío que queda en mí. ¿Dónde ha quedado aquel encanto entre los dos? Te lo suplico, no lo olvides, por favor. Pasan los días y sigo pensando en ti. Pasan las horas, no me logro desprender. Es tan absurdo imaginar que nuestro amor no es suficiente para hacernos regresar. Pasa la vida y sigo pensando que teníamos todo, todo, todo para hacernos tanto bien, que la distancia no podría destruir aquel espacio construido en la ilusión. Solo quiero quererte, yo solo quiero abrazarte en este universo, loco, mirarte crecer y en la distancia amarte. Solo quiero quererte, yo solo quiero abrazarte en este universo, loco, mirarte crecer y en la distancia amarte. Solo quiero quererte, yo solo quiero abrazarte en este universo, loco, mirarte crecer y en la distancia amarte. Solo quiero quererte, yo solo quiero abrazarte en este universo, loco, mirarte crecer y en la distancia amarte en la distancia amarte.
I play it in a different tone. It's not this tone.
It was gorgeous. It was Italian. Gorgeous. It was gorgeous. It was beautiful.
Where it goes.
Thank you so much. I appreciate
Thank
taking
you.
The time. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Hope we do it again. Maybe in Mexico next
yes,
time.
Yes, please. You know? Yeah. In Veracruz.
Thanks to Natalia Lafourcade for playing and singing for us. You can hear her latest album, De Todas las Flores, and all of our favorite songs from Natalia, along with some of the songs mentioned in this conversation, on a playlist at BrokenRecordPodcast.com. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/BrokenRecordPodcast, where you can find all of our new episodes. You can follow us on Twitter at Broken Record. Broken Record is produced and edited by Leah Rose, with marketing help from Eric Sandler and Jordan McMillan. Our engineer is Ben Tolliday. Broken Record is a production of Pushkin Industries. If you love this show and others from Pushkin, consider subscribing to Pushkin Plus. Pushkin Plus is a podcast subscription that offers bonus content and ad-free listening for $4.99 a month. Look for Pushkin Plus on Apple Podcast subscriptions. And if you like this show, please remember to share, rate, and review us on your podcast app. Our theme music's by Kenny Beats. I'm Justin Richmond. Did you know some travel credit cards offer 10 times points on your spending? Don't miss out on big rewards for your next trip. NerdWallet lets you compare smart travel credit cards side by side, curated by an expert team of finance nerds. What could future you do with better travel rewards? A free flight? A room upgrade? Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet, finance smarter.
MuseAura is your access to online music lessons for guitar, piano, drums, and singing. This is your chance to reignite some old musical passions or pick up an instrument for the first time. Connect with more than 100 of the world's best teachers and musicians. You'll get 7 days totally free to try it out. And then it's just $30 a month, less than a single private lesson. I mean, why do we do Broken Record? Not just because we love hearing from great musicians. We do it because we think that there is something beautiful about the appreciation of music. Don't you think we need more of that in our lives these days? That's the mission of MuseAura. To inspire, educate, and connect musicians. Enjoy unlimited personal support, weekly live streams, student lesson plans. It's like having a personal music teacher, only much, much better. Just go to MuseAura.com, MuseAura.com, to start a new musical journey today. The tradition of breaking tradition continues with the return of the Unconventional Awards from T-Mobile for Business at Mobile World Congress. This is an event that celebrates innovators whose bold actions took their industries to new places. If that sounds like you and you're a T-Mobile for Business customer, enter today. If you win, you'll be publicly honored among some of the most influential leaders in industry, and me, I'll be there too. Enter now at T-Mobile.com/unconventional awards. See you there.